Chapter 18.
What's going on?
Ira asked as she and Cass crowded around us. The egg is cracked, I said, and I held the little pale pink egg up for them to see.
Oh no.
Cass breathed, and she lifted her hand to cover her mouth.
Can you fix it?
I've never tried to heal a broken egg. I pursed my lips. I can try, though.
What about you, Cass? If rats can't fix it, can you? I've never healed a broken egg either.
The strawberry blonde said, but she took a deep breath and looked at the redhead.
But I'll try my best. Rath, you should try first. Yes, your powers revolve around dragons. It would make sense you'd be able to heal them too. Aren't healing powers totally different? You might be right.
Cass pursed her lips again.
I'm not sure.
I'll try, but Cass, you should look up a spell just in case.
I'm on it.
The sorceress replied, and she rushed over to her satchel and pulled out her spellbook. I held the little egg in my hands and gently stroked the intact portion of the shell with my fingers. Then I closed my eyes and focused on the energy of the egg, but I couldn't feel anything. I wasn't sure if the baby was dormant or if he was gone, but until I had proof it was the latter, I'd treat it like the former. I'd never tried to heal anything in my life, and I wasn't even sure I had that ability. All of this was incredibly new to me still, but I needed to do something. I took a deep breath and let it out as I focused all my energy on the egg. I imagined the shell being fused back together where it was broken, but when I opened my eyes, nothing had changed.
Did you try?
Asta asked, and she looked at me with hopeful golden eyes. I did. I nodded slowly. I don't think I have the ability to heal him.
Could you hatch him? Hold on. Give Cass a chance to heal him first. How do we know it's a him?
Cass asked as she returned to the group.
I guess we don't.
Asta cocked her head to the side and looked at me.
Do you know Rath?
I'm afraid not. I frowned. I can't tell. I think he's dormant in there.
You don't feel anything?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows raised up into her forehead with surprise and concern. I don't.
Do you think that means...
Ira's voice trailed off as she shook her head. I'm going to take it to mean the baby is dormant, nothing more.
Understood.
The redhead nodded.
I found something that might help. It's for healing animals. I can't find a spell specifically for healing cracked eggs, so I think this is our best bet.
All right. I agreed, and I looked down at the pale pink egg, and then back to the sorceress. What do we need to do?
You should keep holding the egg. I can draw from your power to heal it.
Okay. I nodded.
Let me get a couple of things.
The strawberry blonde said, and she dug in her satchel and pulled out the two large red dragon scales she used to practice her magic when we first met. She usually didn't need them anymore, but I could feel how nervous she was and how much she wanted this spell to work, so I couldn't blame her for pulling out everything she could to try and help it along. Cass also brought out a small red amulet, along with the healing salve she'd put on Asta just a little while earlier.
I think I'm ready,
she said with a nod, and then her violet eyes locked on mine.
Yes, to hold still?
I'll do my best, I assured her, and I took a deep breath and closed my eyes. Even though I knew I wasn't helping as far as the healing went, I focused on the small egg in my hands and once again imagined the crack healing. After a moment, I heard Cass start to mutter in the old language, and I instinctively opened my eyes. All around me was a flurry of red sparkles, and they floated quietly and serenely on their own. Then, slowly, they came together in one long strand of magic. The red flecks floated down to the egg and wrapped around the shell, and I watched as the pale pink egg lit up with a faint red glow. Whatever Cass was doing, it looked like it was working, and I held my breath as I waited for the crack to heal. At first I didn't see anything happen, and my mouth pulled into a frown. But after a moment, the red glow around the egg grew even brighter, and a small crackling sound came from my lap as the break in the eggshell slowly began to fuse back together.
It's working.
Cass didn't say anything. The Valkyrie had her eyes closed and both dragon scales in her hands as she muttered in the old language. I glanced up at Ira, and the redhead's green eyes were fixated on the little dragon egg in my lap. I knew Cass was powerful, but to heal this egg all on her own was fantastic. I could tell it was especially important for Cass to do it too, because she'd struggled to help the mother dragon in Alfheim. In all actuality, she'd been the only thing that kept the female alive, since she'd stopped her from bleeding out, but I knew Cass was still upset about not being able to heal her right away. Brenna had come to our aid, and it all worked out, but I could tell Cass felt like she'd failed the mother dragon in some way. Even magic had its limitations, and that wasn't her fault. All she could do right then was keep the mother from dying. I'd never considered magical limitations before I met Cass and actually spent time with a sorceress. Before then, I'd assumed magic was a quick fix for anything and everything, but I'd quickly learned that wasn't the case. Sometimes magic failed, even for brilliant sorcerers. Now, though, Cass was the only one here to heal this little egg, and she was doing it all on her own. The sorceress's powers were growing, and I knew one day she'd be as strong as Prana, if not stronger. Ramir was her father, after all, and Prana had even admitted the old man was stronger than she was. The crack in the egg slowly closed, and soon it was whole once more. Then the vibrant red light dimmed and disappeared completely, but Cass continued to mutter in the old language. "Cass," I whispered, but the strawberry blonde didn't stop what she was doing.
"Cass, hey."
Ira shook the sorceress slightly, and Cass jerked her eyes open and breathed in deep before she looked around in a wild panic.
"Are you all right?"
Asta asked, and she looked at Cass with confused yellow eyes.
"What happened? Did it work? Were you in a trance or something?"
Ira pushed, and her red eyebrows furrowed together.
"What?"
Cass shook her head.
"No, I was just really focused. Did it work? See for yourself."
Asta smiled and gestured to the egg in my hands. Cass looked all around the little egg and grinned at me.
"I did it?"
"You did it."
"Oh, thank goodness."
The strawberry blonde breathed, and she put her hand on her chest.
"I was so worried it wasn't going to work."
"You're stronger than you think."
"I know."
She nodded.
"But magic isn't a sure thing, and I wasn't sure how long this baby would last in there if we didn't heal him quickly."
"That's a good point. I can't be sure of that either, but..." Huh? Suddenly, I felt something move inside the egg.
"What?"
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes were wide as she looked me up and down.
"What's going on? You just made a weird face."
"I felt the little dragon inside. It moved."
"What?"
Cass squeaked, and she looked down at the egg.
"Is it going to hatch?"
I focused on the feelings of the dragon inside, but all I could sense was a small bit of comfort emanating from the egg. The dragon moved again, and it seemed to settle into a different position before it went still.
"Did it move again?"
"Yes, but I think it was getting comfortable now that its egg is healed. I got a small sense of comfort, but now nothing. I think it's gone dormant again."
"Oh, the little guy just woke up for a second to get comfy."
Asta smiled so big her cheeks pushed her eyes closed. "Yes, I think so." I smiled back and turned to Cass. "Good job, that was amazing."
"Oh, thank you."
The strawberry blonde blushed slightly.
"I'm just glad he's okay."
"Yes, me too." I agreed, and I looked around the room. "All right, I'm going to start putting the eggs into these trunks. We'll take them to the valley first to see if any mothers claim them, and whatever ones are dormant and unclaimed, we'll take to Prana and the council."
"All right. Asta, Cass, and I can keep looking around."
"Okay. Let me know if you find anything."
"On it."
Cass reached out and stroked the small egg for a second, and then she smiled at me, stood up, and walked over to one of the nearby shelves. Asta bounded off to join Ira at the desk Svas and the other little dragons were still on. During the egg healing, Bla, Inger, and Ufe had joined Svas and the little green male on Cass's scarf, and they were all curled up and snoring softly. I stood up and started to carefully place the eggs in the trunks. I figured the frost giants weren't using them anymore, so we may as well take them. There were so many eggs, I wasn't even sure they were all going to fit in the trunks we had on hand. We might have to make use of Kaas's bottomless satchel. Though there were so many things in that bag already, I wasn't sure I trusted it to carry the eggs as well. Still, I didn't want to have to come back to get them. Blah's portals were good, but they weren't exactly precise yet, and it would be easiest for all of us if we could make one single trip with the eggs.
All right, I think you'll want to see this.
Ira said as I placed a dark purple egg in the trunk. What is it? I asked as I quickly walked over to where the redhead stood in front of the desk.
It's a letter from the Elf King.
Ira said, and she held out the paper to show me. What does it say? I asked as I took the page she offered and started to read it. The letter was definitely from the Elf King, though it didn't outright say it. It talked about the eggs, and how the Frost Giant's payment would arrive via courier after all the eggs were delivered to the training camp.
There's this one, too.
Asta said, and she handed me another piece of paper. I looked over the writing, and my eyebrows pinched together with confusion as Blah leaned down from my shoulder to look at the paper, too. This is meant for a dwarf named Garnlif.
Yes.
Asta nodded.
It appears to be from the king, too, though. The paper is the same.
Yes, it is. I agreed as I looked over the paper carefully. Each page had a small golden mark in the upper right-hand corner, so even though the letters didn't outright say they were from the Elf King, it was clear they were. I wasn't sure if he wasn't smart enough to disguise the fact that it was him better, or if he simply didn't care. But either way, it was easy to tell who it was, since we knew about his deal to get the eggs. And the handwriting was the same for both as well.
What's it say? It asked the dwarf to make some special...
weapons. I finished, and my eyes went wide as I looked up at Ira. Her green eyes bored into mine, and as warriors we each understood what this meant. The king was definitely planning an attack. If I had any doubt about that before, it was gone now. Kings didn't have weapons commissioned so they could sit around their yards. These were going to be used, and now we just had to figure out where and when.
What kind of weapons?
Kaas asked as she walked over and looked down at the page with pinched-together eyebrows. It doesn't say exactly. I shook my head.
Why would the Frost Giants have this letter?
Ira asked, and her brow furrowed with confusion. As I was wondering that, too. I pursed my lips.
Do you think the Frost Giants are trying to get more money out of the Elf King?
What do you mean?
Could they be intercepting his messages so they can hold it against him?
I don't know. I shook my head. That's definitely something to consider. I wouldn't put it past these bastards.
Does it say anything else?
It only says he needs the weapons they discussed to be delivered before Asgard's summer is over.
That's in a few weeks.
You're right. There's not much time at all.
That still seems like a long time for a dwarf to make weapons. Dwarves are very proficient blacksmiths. These weapons must be quite large. That's not good.
Kaas frowned. No, it's not. I sighed and rubbed the back of my neck.
What are we going to do?
We're going to stop him, I told her with a determined nod.
Right.
The elf girl agreed, and she flashed me a sweet smile. All right now, though, we should get this little guy home. I gestured to the small dragon curled up on the table. Svas, Inger, and Ufe were all curled around him, and I could sense the little boy felt completely at ease in his slumber.
I hate to wake him,
Kaas said as she smiled down at the little reptiles. Yes, I do too, but we should be going. And I'm sure he misses his family.
Let's hope his mother is there waiting.
I nodded, but I was concerned about that as well. I wasn't sure when the baby was taken, and there was no guarantee his mother would be there waiting for him. If she wasn't, he'd be welcome to stay with us, but it was always sad to see an orphan, even if it meant adding another baby to our family. The girls and I gathered up all the eggs, and then we did one last look through the room and the pockets of the Frost Giants to make sure there was nothing else left. After that was done, Blah opened a portal to Alfheim, and we took the chests filled with eggs and stepped through. The little green dragon didn't want to leave Svas's side, so he rode with her on Ira's shoulder. But I could sense his understanding of where we were as soon as we stepped through the portal into Alfheim. Though he'd only been in his home world as an egg, he instinctively knew it was where he belonged, and I looked over to see a huge smile on his little reptilian face.
"Do you see your mom down there?"
Asta asked as we walked over to the edge of the cliff. The little dragon looked down, and the scales above his eyes pinched together. But then he turned to the white-haired elf girl and shook his head. I could see his dark blue eyes glisten with emotion, and I knew he was upset he didn't see his mother yet. Well, come on, I said, as I picked up the chest full of eggs once more. I led my team down to the valley, but as we walked, a loud sound filled the air, and suddenly there was an ear-piercing screech. I looked up and saw a massive dark blue female headed right toward us.
Amrat, she looks angry.
She does, I murmured, but I didn't think that was it at all. The little green dragon on Ira's shoulder let out an excited squeal, and he flew up to the large blue dragon and circled round her head. The two of them danced in the air for a moment, and then the huge female landed in front of us and used her front paws to pull her baby to her face so she could nuzzle him.
Oh!
Asta smiled and clasped her hands under her chin.
That's his mom!
The huge female looked at us, and then her piercing white eyes landed on mine, and she gave me a small bow as a show of gratitude. Yes, we're happy we could help, I told her. As I turned into the emotions of the dragons, I got the sense she'd missed her baby for a long time. It seemed he'd been taken a couple years earlier, at least, which only made me think I was right, and the frost giants had been working on their egg collection for some time. The giant blue mother turned toward the valley, but her baby flew over to Svas and nuzzled his face against hers before he followed his mother.
What about the rest of the eggs?
Gas asked, once the mom and the baby flew away. We'll see if there are any other mothers who can claim them.
Will they be able to sense if it's their egg?
Yes, I nodded. Mother dragons know their babies, no matter if they're dormant or not. The large brown dragon who'd greeted us before met us again as we entered the valley. We have eggs for the mothers to look through, I told him, and I set the chest down. Cass and Asta set the chest they were carrying down, too, and we carefully pulled the eggs out and lined them up on the ground. Mother after mother came over to sniff and look at the eggs, but ultimately only four of them were reunited with their families. That still left several dozen orphaned eggs, and I could only take solace in the fact they were dormant and comfortable for the time being. I thanked the brown dragon again, and then we put the eggs back in their chests before Blah made us a portal back home. The little dragon had gotten quite good at making portals to places he knew, and we stepped through the swishing air into my courtyard in Asgard. The sun was already set for the night, and though it was dark, the scent of home immediately put me at ease.
Are we going to give these eggs to Prayna to look after?
Asta asked, and she looked down at the chests and frowned. Yes, I nodded. We'll do that first thing in the morning, but it's late now, and I think we all could use some rest.
Right. Let me help you get them inside.
Thanks, I told her, and the redhead and I carried the chests full of eggs into the cottage. While we were inside, I poured 4-pint glasses of mead, and I filled up another pitcher to bring out with us. Oh, I figured we'd all need at least 2 drinks after the day we had. By the time Ira and I made it back outside, Cass and Asta had a fire going, though I wasn't sure if that was their doing or one of the dragons. Either way, the warmth felt good on my feet as I stretched my legs out near the flames and thought about everything that happened that day. We'd managed to save all those eggs from the Elf King, but we'd also uncovered his plan to create weapons he was most likely going to use against the rest of the 9 realms. Since we'd uncovered the Elf King's plan in his study, I was hoping this whole mess would be coming to an end soon, but it looked like it was going to take longer to end the dragon trade than I would have liked. Still, even with the notes we'd found, I looked around at my women and my dragons, and I couldn't help but feel a certain sense of pride. I'd hatched Blah, Inger, and Ufe, and now we had Svas as well. Each of them was beautiful and unique, and I was incredibly fortunate to have them on my team. Kaas had been with me since the beginning, and the strawberry blonde sorceress was incredibly talented and brilliant. Asta had joined us soon after, and her bright, optimistic personality was a gift to behold. Ira hadn't been with us long, but she was incredibly skilled as a warrior, and it was a pleasure to have her with us. My team had grown so large in such a short amount of time, but I wouldn't trade any of them for all the jewels in all the Nine Realms. The girls all stared into the fire as they sipped their mead slowly, and the dragons were all curled up in one big pile in front of the flames. Blar laid on his back and snored softly, while Inga rested her head on his chest and Ufe curled up by his feet. Then Svas made herself incredibly comfortable as she climbed up onto Blar's belly, sprawled out across it, and snored lightly just as he did. I shook my head at the adorable little dragons, but then frowned at how sad the girls all looked. I could sense they were upset about the notes we found from the Elf King, but there was nothing we could do about that right then, and we had plenty of other victories to celebrate. "Hey!" I chuckled, and all the girls looked up at me. "We saved several dozen eggs from the hands of the Elf King today."
"You're right,"
Asta smiled.
"I'm happy we were able to save them. The Elf King isn't going to be happy, though."
"I'm sure he won't be," I nodded. "And that will only give us an advantage when it comes to defeating him."
"Right,"
Ira said, and she looked at me with green eyes that sparkled in the firelight.
"We're going to get this bastard if it's the last thing I do.
I've been thinking about the notes we found, and all the terrible things the king is planning, but you're right. We're going to get him."
The sorceress grinned at me.
"And we did save those eggs today."
"And we've saved plenty of other dragons, too."
"We have."
She nodded.
"Every time we free a dragon, it's one small blow against the entire dragon trade."
"We'll dismantle it brick by brick if we have to, but it will come crumbling down."
"I'll drink to that."
Ira grinned. "I think we should all drink to that," I said as I held my pint of mead up to the sky.
"Hear, hear,"
Asta said, and she held her cup up.
"Hear, hear."
Cass, Ira, and I laughed, and we all took large swigs from our glasses.
"There is one other thing we have to celebrate,"
Ira said, and she wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. "What's that?"
"You."
The redhead smiled softly. "Me? I'm
the entire reason we're able to be a part of this. And I'm sure I speak for Cass and Asta too when I say thank you for letting us be on this journey with you. This is by far the most important thing I've ever done in my life. Yes, I'm grateful to be part of dismantling this terrible dragon trade. I hope to one day tell my children how we freed all the dragons from their slavery. I am grateful to be here as well."
Asta smiled at me with bright yellow eyes, and she nearly looked like she was about to cry.
"I would like to see my homeland return to how it once was."
"I'd like that too," I told her. And I looked at Cass and Ira. "I'm happy each of you is here."
"I feel like we're meant to be here. And I'm not saying that because we're so bonded. I just feel in my heart we're supposed to be here with you."
"I feel the same way." I smiled at the strawberry blonde.
"Soul bonded?"
Ira asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Did Rat not tell you? I'm guessing he forgot."
Ira looked at me with a half smile.
"Asta and I are soul bonded with Rat. What exactly does that entail?"
The redhead asked, and my heart rate accelerated with the possibility of her soul bonding with me as well.
"It means we will be with him for as long as we all live. He is bound to protect us, and we are connected through our entire being. We can also draw from his power to make our magic stronger. We can also feel how each other feels."
Asta nodded.
"You mean emotions or physically?"
"Both."
Cass flushed with embarrassment and looked down.
"I see."
Ira looked at me and licked her lips.
"If you'd like, I'm sure Rath would soul bond with you too,"
Asta offered for me. "Well, this is awkward." I laughed and I rubbed my hand down my face and smiled at the red-headed warband leader.
"Not at all. I might like to soul bond with you one day."
"Really?" I asked, and my eyes widened of their own accord.
"Really?"
The redhead nodded.
"But I've only had you a couple of times, so I think I might need to test you out a little bit more.
Well, that can be arranged.
Do you want us to leave you all alone?
Cass asked, and she looked away with embarrassment.
You all are already so bonded with him?
Ira shrugged.
You should probably stay too. After all, I'd be committing to you too, right? I guess that's true.
Cass said as she bit her lip. Blah, I said, and I nudged the little dragon. Go inside, please. He opened one blue eye, glared at me, and then rolled over so Svas fell off him with a small thud. The blue dragon groggily walked toward the cottage, and Inga, Ufe, and Svas trailed behind him.
Good idea.
Ira laughed, and she stood up, downed the rest of her mead, and walked over to me. The redhead straddled me, and then she reached over and grabbed Cass and Asta by the hands and pulled them over to us as well.
I know you want him too. I don't mind sharing.
The redhead turned to me, grabbed me by the chin, and kissed me deeply. My erection immediately came to life, and I gripped her waist as she thrust her tongue deep into my mouth.
I can feel how much he likes that. Good.
Ira chuckled throatily, and it was the sexiest thing I'd ever heard.
How does he like this?
The redhead kissed along my jaw down to my neck, and her mouth on my skin sent shivers down my spine as she licked and nibbled my collarbone.
Oh, so much.
Cass said, and she sat next to me on the wooden bench and started to kiss the other side of my neck. Ira groaned as she ran her hand down my chest to grip my cock through my pants.
I think he does like it.
Oh, fuck. I want you so bad.
I think we should see just how bad you want it.
She said, and she bit her lip and then climbed down to kneel in front of me.
Oh, yes.
Asta breathed, and she joined Ira on the ground.
I love to feel him in my mouth.
I was overcome with wild sensations as Cass continued to nibble on my neck, and Ira undid my pants so my erection sprung free. The warband leader and my sexy elf woman ogled my cock for a second before Ira licked me from base to tip. Oh, fuck! I groaned as I threw my head back.
Me always tastes so good,
Asta said, and I felt her mouth envelop my cock. Ira gripped the elf by her hair and pushed her all the way down on my erection, so she took the entirety of my cock into her mouth and down into her throat. I could sense Asta's pleasure at the experience, and that made it all the more satisfying for me. Oh, that feels so fucking good. I growled as I gripped the wooden bench hard to steady myself. This had come about so quickly, and I hadn't been prepared for how excited the girls were, but their intensity was turning me on tenfold, and I was doing everything I could to try and keep my composure.
You like that?
Ira asked, and she pulled the arm of Asta's tunic down so she could kiss the elf's neck and shoulder. Seeing Ira's mouth on Asta's skin was incredibly arousing, and my cock twitched in Asta's throat in response to the sight of the two of them. The redhead slowly pulled Asta off my cock, and the elf took in a ragged breath as a thin string of spit connected her lips to my head.
I want some.
Cass groaned, and she knelt down in front of me, so I had all three of my women at my feet. The strawberry blonde gripped me hard, and then she swirled her tongue around the tip of my cock until I felt like I was going to explode. At just the right time, the sorceress took the whole of me inside of her, inch by inch, and my vision went blurry as I savored the feel of her warm mouth wrapped around my cock. Just when I felt I couldn't take it any longer, Cass released me from her mouth, and Ira straddled me once more.
I want you. Now.
The warrior growled, and she reached down and guided me into her. Ira's eyes rolled back in her head, and her mouth fell open as she took my entire cock inside of her tunnel with one smooth motion. Oh, fuck! I groaned, and my hands instinctively reached for her hips.
You feel so good inside me.
She gasped, and she bit her lip as she started to bounce up and down on my cock.
Oh, yes.
Cass whispered as she came up behind me and pulled my tunic over my head so she could run her nails down my back.
You're sexy, too.
Ira purred, and she ran her hand up my abs so she could pull my head to hers and kiss me deeply. Ira's pussy clenched my cock, but it wasn't enough. I needed to be inside all my women, so I reached behind me and pulled Cass to one side of me, and Asta to another. Asta gasped as Ira reached down and pulled her tunic off, but the elf girl's bare breasts and stomach in the firelight were beautiful, and I couldn't help but reach up and grab one of them. Oh, damn. I breathed as I felt the weight of her breast in my hand, and I pinched her already taut nipple lightly.
Oh, Rath, that feels so good. I think we're all a little overdressed.
Cass said, and she reached over and yanked off Iris' tunic, so the redhead's body was fully exposed as she continued to grind back and forth on my cock. The warband leader was lean, with toned muscles that flexed as she bounced on my cock, and I groaned at the sight of her amazing body. Ira returned the favor, and she pulled off Cass's tunic and then leaned over and pulled one of her taut pink nipples into her mouth. Oh, God, you all are so sexy. I breathed as I ran my hand down Asta's stomach to her already glistening pussy.
Oh, Rath.
Asta gasped, and she gripped my shoulders as she nearly collapsed from the feel of my fingers entering her. I pulled Cass to me, too, and while Ira continued to bounce up and down on my cock, I slid my hand up Cass's thigh to her sweet pussy. Soon both Cass and Asta were leaning against me, and they held on as best they could to my shoulders as I worked my fingers in and out of their wet pussies.
Oh, I'm gonna come.
Ira moaned, and she threw her head back and slammed down hard on my cock.
Don't stop.
All at once I felt Ira's pussy spasm and pulsate on my cock as Cass and Asta's did the same on my fingers. All of my women were overcome with pleasure, and the feel of Cass and Asta's shared orgasm from our soul bond was almost too much to bear. Oh, but I wasn't done with them yet, so I let them ride out their waves of pleasure until each of them collapsed against me. It's my turn to be in charge, I growled, and I lifted Ira up and set her on the grass behind us. The girls were all lit up by the firelight, and their naked bodies were cast in the beautiful orange glow of the flames. I could see the wetness on Ira's legs as I set her in the grass, and my cock twitched in response. I figured Ira needed a break, so I grabbed Cass and laid her down so I could spread her legs wide and push myself into her.
No, Radius!
Oh, Cass gasped as I filled her completely.
I need your cock so bad.
Then Cass grabbed Asta's hand and pulled her down to us so the elf girl could straddle her face. Oh, damn! I cursed as Asta's face contorted with pleasure at whatever Cass was doing with her tongue. Seeing the two of them together drained all the blood from my head and sent it straight to my cock, and I slammed into Cass even harder as Asta leaned her head back and let her plump lips fall open.
Fuck yes.
Ira groaned, and she rolled over and got on her knees to get behind Asta. Well, the redhead reached around and cupped Asta's full breasts, and then she started to kiss the elf's neck once more. Asta let out a low moan as Ira pinched her nipples, softly at first, but with exceeding force.
Oh, yes. Oh, just like that.
I could feel Cass's body tense under mine, and I knew she was close to release, so I slammed into her even harder until I felt her grow rigid, and I heard her let out a low moan against Asta's pussy. Cass's slit spasmed on my cock, and I had to bite my lip to keep from coming right then. But I still needed to pleasure Asta, and I wasn't going to let the elf girl get out of this without another orgasm, too.
Looks like it's your turn.
Ira whispered into Asta's ear, and she nibbled her earlobe and then spun the elf around by the shoulders so her ass was toward me. Oh, get over here, I growled, and I grabbed Asta's hips and pulled them to me. I gently pushed on the elf girl's back so she leaned over Cass, and now I had a view of her perfect ass. Her pussy was glistening with her cum and desire, and I pressed my cock against her entrance and slid it up and down before I slammed into her hard.
No, yes!
Asta yelled as my cock filled her completely and bottomed out against her womb. I could feel her heat building along with my own, and I pounded into her over and over again while Ira pulled Cass from under us. The redhead reached down to shove her fingers deep into Cass's wet pussy, and I could feel my cock twitch in response to the sight of the two of them together. Cass returned the favor, and they worked their hands into each other's pussies while I fucked Asta from behind. I couldn't stand it for long, though, and after a few minutes I felt my orgasm building.
I want to come! Fuck me, too!
Ira didn't say anything, but from the look on her face, I knew she was nearly there as well. Come for me, all of you! Asta's pussy clenched and spasmed on my cock as the elf girl fell forward, unable to hold herself up during her overwhelming pleasure. Cass and Ira came at the same time, and I slammed into Asta once more and allowed myself to climax. My cock tensed and my vision went black as I gripped Asta's hips and buried myself inside of her as deeply as I possibly could. My hot seed filled her, and I let out a low groan of pleasure as her sweet pussy spasmed continuously and milked every last drop of cream from my cock. Once we all finished riding out the waves of our pleasure, I pulled myself off Asta, and we both rolled over into the grass where Cass and Ira laid. Then I stared up at bright stars in the dark blue sky and listened to the girls' ragged breaths. I hadn't completely dismantled the dragon trade yet, but I was on my way to putting a stop to the terrible practice. I'd freed several dozen dragons today, made love to all my women, and I knew the Elf King's next move. All in all, it had been a good day. Ira climbed over Asta to lay by me and place her hand on my chest. Her green eyes locked on mine, and they sparkled with the flames behind us. Her long red hair was wild from our lovemaking, and I smiled and pushed a strand behind her ear, so I could see her delicate features even better.
I've made up my mind,
she said, and she half smiled in the sexiest way as her fingers traced their way along my chest. Made up your mind about what?
Soul bonding,
she said, and my heart skipped a beat.
I want to do it. I want to soul bond with you.
The day had just gotten even better. End of book 3.